All right. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Today is June 4th, 2019. Welcome to this meeting of the Board of Trustees for the University of the District of Columbia. Can you hear me? Today is June 4th, 2019. Welcome, everyone, to this meeting of the Board of Trustees for the University of the District of Columbia. At this moment, I would like to have Beverly take the roll call so we can establish quorum.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Dr. Barazzoni? Dr. Kreider?
Here.
Dr. Jarvis?
Present.
Mr. Dyke?
Here.
Mr. Felton?
Here.
Mr. Grossinger?
Here.
Ms. Lewis? President Mason?
Here.
Ms. Roberts?
Here.
Dr. Rudd?
Present.
General Schwartz?
Here.
Mr. Scott?
Here.
Mr. Shelton?
Here.
Dr. Tard? Mr. Weiner? Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
All right. Thank you very much, Beverly. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, before we start our business, I wanted to let everyone know that we had an executive session at our last meeting, at the conclusion of our last meeting. And so I'd like to read the disclosure that goes in tandem with having an executive session. At the April 30th, 2019 meeting of the Board of Trustees, an executive session was held. All matters discussed in the executive session were proper. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. The minutes have been distributed with the board materials. Trustees, have you had a chance to review?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing or seeing none? The minutes are approved as presented. Thank you very much. All right. Now we move to the action items on our agenda. The first item is a resolution notice of final rulemaking. Amendment to AB DCMR 411, Business Enterprises and Sales of Products and Services.
Yes, sir. So this was an amendment to the DCMR to allow us to sell produce from the farm. It was approved by the board that had to go through the public review process. It's been held over 30 days. There's been no comments, and so now it's here for final approval.
Thank you very much. Trustees, the resolution has been included in your packets. Are there any questions about the resolution? Yes, the committee is recommending approval, correct? Yes. All right. Any discussion?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All right. Very good. I will now read the whereas clause. Let's see. The last two in connection with this resolution. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia hereby amends Chapter 4 of the University Rules, Title 8B, DCMR, to permit the university to engage in business activities as indicated in the Notice of Final Rulemaking attached hereto as Appendix A, and be it further resolved that the rules enacted herein shall take effect upon publication in the DC Register, and that all prior inconsistent resolutions, customs, procedures, and practices are hereby repealed. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing or seeing none? The resolution passes. Thank you very much. All right. At this time on our agenda, we will move to the Operations Committee. Trustee Cho.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
The Operations Committee is recommending approval of all four items. Procurement rules is B. Swing space for Eaton Elementary is C. Old Congress Heights School is D. And housing units at 3003 Van Ness Street for students. I move that the committee recommends approval of all. If we have questions on any of the items, I encourage us to take the questions. But if after the question we can vote them all in at one time, we save a lot of back and forth, unless we want to do it another way.
That's
so moved.
Okay.
It is second.
Okay. Okay, it has been moved and second to discuss all items on block. Those in favor?
Aye.
Abstentions? Hearing or seeing none, we can begin the discussion. Are there any specific questions that anyone has to any of the items listed in the report or in the from the operations committee?
How many units does this provide for students?
It's you're talking about the last one?
Yeah.
It's 26 units, but I was gonna ask how many residents, that would be four per
someone from residence life.
It's four per unit.
Four per unit. Okay.
But they have some individuals, some singles, and some doubles.
Okay.
And so it's a different distribution.
Okay, and that's been consistent with the past as well, right? Four per unit?
Sure, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Juanita Gray, Director of Residence Life. There's 88 total spaces, four per unit.
Okay. Okay, gotcha. And we've discussed this before, but on these units, there's a subsidy that the university pays in connection with the lease of about $496,000 or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, sir, for student athletes and for DCF students.
Okay, okay. And that subsidy has not changed. It's the same size as it's been the previous years.
It has increased with student athletes. DCF is the same.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
How many do you have on the waiting list normally?
It depends every year. This past year, we had about 111 students total on the wait list. But of those students, I was able to move about 90 off of it. So throughout the summer, we have students who sign up and then decide that they don't want to stay in student housing.
Okay. So you agree that this capacity that you're asking for is a good number?
Yes, sir. I can tell you as of today, we have 125 online applications. Of those applications, 63 total people have paid. And I imagine the rest will get their deposits in quickly.
Okay, thank you.
All right. What I was going to say is I'd like to take a moment to exercise executive privilege and suspend discussion so that we may recognize our distinguished guest that has joined us. So for those of you, it's my distinct pleasure to recognize Maya Bauer. Bowser, we're very pleased to have you here. Would you like to speak to us?
Sure. Just quickly, and I noticed that you have a full agenda, Mr. Chairman, board members. Mr. Chairman, board members, thank you. I noticed that your agenda is full and all guests. I wanted to come today, and I will spend my summer. Each year I give myself a summer project. And my summer project this year is to stop in to our independent boards and commissions and check on you and see you and hear your business and see how I can be helpful to you. Frequently, one thing that I discovered when I became mayor is I hired all these great people. In your case, I appointed really great people, and sometimes I don't see you. I see you by happenstance. And so I wanted to be here today to let you know that we continue to be very focused on the work that you do, supportive of our university, and we and with Deputy Mayor Kine and all of our staff are here to be helpful. We have entertained, of course, President Mason on many occasions. I say that somewhat facetiously because I believe that all of the independent agencies, and I invite all of the directors of independent agencies to participate in our cabinet meetings. I host a cabinet meeting each quarter where my directors, and actually I think we're doing one this week or next week, where we are briefed on budget matters, on policies and procedures, and different initiatives so that we can move the district forward. My belief is that we are one DC government and we are there to support each other. We are just at the end of our budget process, and I want to thank President Mason for working with us, for continuing to present us with a cogent plan for how he intends to move the university forward, and how we can, over years, make the necessary investments. We were very proud when I was a member of the council and when I became mayor to be a part of the opening of the Student Center. Mm-hmm. I think I came in on the tail end of a report about housing and DCF. Is that what I heard as I was coming in? And I think, and I share the president's vision that UDC is the first choice for the best and brightest of DC public school students and all students. So that's why I'm here. I'll listen in and stay as long as I can. Your discussion tonight helps us think about all the ways that we can continue to be helpful. And I'm also, if it pleases the chair, happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Trustees, are there any questions for the mayor?
Wait for us.
Continue support.
This is easy. So many people on this board have been here. They've been here for a while, and others are newer. But we have been seeing a real renaissance in the university and the perception of the university. And in particular, we're really proud of our equity imperative. So I'm just curious, when you're out in the community and you're talking, and you're such a big supporter of the university, what's the feedback you're hearing from the community, both the business community as well as residents of the city, about the equity imperative and the changes at the university?
Well, I will say, and I hope you note that we make it a point to bring the city to the university as frequently as possible. I think I posted a couple of my states of the district addresses here, and I want not only the residents at large to get to know the university, but the policymakers on the city council to also come and be a part of the university and see what we're investing in. So I think that is critically important. I also think it's important for you to be ambassadors of the university in different ways. And so I think you asked me about the business community. The business community is very focused as we are on preparing DC residents for jobs of the future. And I think there are some very specific examples of initiatives that are coming to fore, like
digital literacy and a digital literacy
certificate that a number of institutions around the region want to participate in so that we can continue to attract tech jobs. We're also very focused on healthcare. I invited President Mason a couple weeks ago to participate in a half-day summit that I hosted internally with our healthcare planning professionals. You may have noted that I formed a healthcare reform commission yesterday that included the presidents of all of our acute care hospitals, specialty hospitals, and our nonprofit healthcare providers. I've asked them to focus on a few questions: better provision of behavioral health services, in maternal health services, emergency room access, and building our system on the east side of our city. One of their charges is also, how do we build up our healthcare workforce? And the university can and should be a key partner in that work. We are hiring, our universities are hiring around the world, nurses. We can produce nurses. This university produced a nurse that's very important to me, my mother. And we want to retell that story many, many ways over. We also are very interested in building stronger bridges between the university and DCPS. And I know that President Mason and Dr. Farabee continue to have discussions. I think that we're solidifying, if we haven't already, early college with UDC and Calvin Coolidge Senior High School, also focused in the health sciences, and we certainly hope that that continues. We also, business community has some interest in helping you with your real estate needs as well. I've heard a lot about that. I think that we've been helpful in that regard as well. That can help you with your student needs as well as probably help you with some bottom line needs that you have as well. So we'll continue to stay focused on that too.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you very much.
Can I say something?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'd like to say something. First, thank you for coming, Mayor. I'm told that in the memories in the room, this is the first time a mayor has visited a UDC board meeting, so we thank you for that. And it's so good with you. I want to introduce Paul Kine, the Deputy Mayor for Education, so that everybody knows who he is. And then third, the mayor's right. I do go to all the cabinet meetings, and it is very helpful to me as a head of an independent agency. And the mayor is fully engaged in everything that's going on. He's very supportive. And I talk about Team Bowser, and I worked with a lot of mayors in my day, and Team Bowser is a very good team, and we're just privileged and honored to be a part of it. So thank you for coming.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Okay, then, ladies and gentlemen. Well, what we'll do now is return back to business. We have suspended our discussion from the items that were being recommended for approval by the Operations Committee. So I think we had just concluded discussion on the 3003 Van Ness Street lease. Are there any other items that any trustees have questions about within this?
Yes,
question has been moved. Very well then. Oh, you know what? I'm going to have to read these. Alrighty. So then, if the question has been moved to vote on four resolutions, the resolutions pertain to the following: notice of proposed rulemaking amendment to 8B DCMR Chapter 30 University Procurement Rules. Let me get that one up in front of me. That's it. Thank you. Okay. Sorry. I want to make sure I have the right one. No, this isn't it. This is the first one. You need the second one. This one, third. There we go. Sorry. All right. Very good. The first one will be Notice of Proposed Rulemaking Amendment to 8B DCMR Chapter 30 University Procurement Rules. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of the University hereby takes proposed rulemaking action to amend Chapter 30 of the University Rules, Title 8B DCMR, to align those rules with PPRA as indicated in the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking attached hereto as Appendix A, and be it further resolved that the Acting General Counsel of the University is hereby directed to publish this Notice of Proposed Rulemaking in the DC Register as soon as practicable for a comment period of not less than 30 days in accordance with the provisions of DC Official Code 2-505A. That's the first item. The next item, Trustee Lewis has joined us, so I wanted to acknowledge her. Thank you for being here, Trustee Lewis.
Thank you. Sure.
Okay. The next resolution is approval of Memorandum of Understanding among the University of the District of Columbia, the District of Columbia Public Schools, and the District of Columbia's Department of General Services with respect to the use of certain facilities and property on the University's Van Ness campus as swing space for Eaton Elementary School. So I'll read the last whereas clause for that one. Now, therefore, be it resolved that subject to the required approval of the Council of the District of Columbia, the Memorandum of Understanding attached hereto as Appendix A is approved by the Board of Trustees in accordance with 8B DCMR, Section 210.1, and the President is hereby authorized to enter into the Memorandum of Understanding. That's item number two. Item number three is resolution approval of a sublease agreement for property located at 3100 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue. And so for this sublease, I'll read the whereas clause here. Okay. Now, therefore, be it resolved that subject to the required approval of the Council, the sublease agreement, substantially in the form attached hereto, as Appendix A, is approved by the Board in accordance with 8B DCMR 2100.1, and the President is hereby authorized to enter into the sublease agreement, substantially in the form attached hereto, as Appendix A, on behalf of the Board. And then finally, resolution of approval of leasing arrangement for 26 units at 3003 Van Ness Street. And for that one, the clause is, now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Trustees hereby authorizes the President to take all necessary action to finalize a lease of 26 residential units on the terms set forth in the sample lease attached hereto as Appendix A, as modified by Appendix A-1. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for those four resolutions, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing or seeing none, the resolutions all pass. Thank you very much, Trustee Shelton, and the work of the Operations Committee for moving those through.
That concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you so very much. The next item on our agenda is Academic and Student Affairs Committee. This would normally be presented by Trustee Tard, but he's not here. Trustee Tard, you're not on the line, are you? No, he's not.
I'll do it.
You want to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the chair of the committee is not here. We have three tenure recommendations. One of them is the new chief academic officer, and I think he's arranged to have the deans actually present the recommendations to the board, since I resigned as the chief academic officer. And so, who's up first? Dr. Massey?
Good evening, April Massey, Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, and I have the pleasure of presenting for your consideration the tenure application of Dr. Lawrence Potter, Chief Academic Officer for the University of the District of Columbia. Dr. Potter is an accomplished humanist with credentials in literature and Africana studies. He is requesting an import of tenure earned at a previous institution. His application was vetted at four levels. He was reviewed by his program faculty in English, his chairperson in English, division faculty in the college faculty in the College of Arts and Sciences, and also by me. The recommendation of his tenure is unanimous coming out of the college. He is a sought-after intellectual, speaker, chief diversity officer, and so we are pleased to call him a colleague in the College of Arts and Sciences and honored to welcome him home in terms of disciplinary home to CAS.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Massey.
So moved.
Second.
Very well. It has been moved and seconded. What I will do is I'll read the last clause. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves the award of tenure to Lawrence T. Potter, Jr., Ph.D., College of Arts and Sciences, at the rank of professor. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Hearing or seeing none? The resolution passes. Congratulations, Dr. Potter. Very well. The next one is Dr. Yolanda Plummer.
Plummer.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your time. I'm Dean Mohamed Saberi, Dean Mo, School of Business and Public Administration. It's my pleasure to recommend Dr. Yolanda Prager, the Associate Professor of Public Administration, for full tenure. She has been with UDC for more than 7 years. And she has been a role model as a faculty to students and very much engaged, you know, with school activities. She also is the director of a grant program called PATH and POWER. There are two of them, but connected. And through that, School of Business, and because of her, we help the communities, all communities, you know, in Washington, D.C. area, especially in Ward 7 and 8. And everybody who needs retraining, who needs training, who needs especially need through this PATH and POWER grants, they come and get training. And actually, there's one going on every morning. This morning I come in. One of our top faculty is engaged with them. They actually ask, you know, School of Business faculty to use their expertise to help the people, you know, who need to be trained. And I highly recommend her for tenure.
All right. Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. All right. Is there a motion?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded for tenure approval for Dr. Yolanda Plummer, Ph.D., School of Business and Public Administration. Let me go right to her resolution. Okay. Is that you, Trustee Targ? Someone's on the line? Okay.
Yes, it's Josh Weiner on the line.
Oh, okay. Trustee Weiner. Okay. Welcome. All right.
Thank you.
Sure. All right. We're about to approve a resolution, or we're about to vote on a resolution for approval for Yolanda Plummer. I'll read the last whereas clause. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves the award of tenure to Yolanda Plummer, Ph.D., School of Business and Public Administration, at the rank of Associate Professor. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. All unanimous. All right, the resolution passes. Is Dr. Plummer here?
No.
Okay. Well, congratulations to Dr. Plummer. Uh, And then the last one is the resolution for tenure approval for T. Kun Alex Tan, PhD.
Yes, well, Alex is also a professor, associate professor at the School of Business and Public Administration. He is associate professor of finance. And he was actually part of the what we call that internally as the new faces of excellence that we all, you know, hired for the School of Business because we are going for highest level accreditation any program can have regardless of business or not. That's the AACSB accreditation, and we need the top quality people. So he's been with us and have been very helpful and has contributed a lot. He's one of the golden stars of the school. He's in China right now. He is also leading our China Connection Program. And we have managed to sign lots of agreements with Chinese universities. We have a few of them coming in the fall here. We have a Chinese scholar coming in the fall. And we are sending four of our students to China, into Beijing, you know, this summer. For the cultural exchange.
Excellent.
And he has been very active and participating, you know, with that. We are also using the DC China program that, you know, we have, and we fully utilize to the penny, you know, whatever we are allowed to use the services. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Last but not least, you know, Alex actually did a project last year, I believe, came through President Mason, and it was a very highly leveraged, you know, investment. We are talking about $17 billion of valuation, and we don't have everything at our disposal, but Alex, using just part hand calculator and part computers, he came up with it, and they sent it to San Francisco for a professional, financial, office to see is great. They didn't change a penny with that, so he was right on the money with it. So with that, you know, we are moving on, and I highly recommend, you know, him for tenure.
Thank you very much, Dean. Appreciate it. Did you want to say something?
I just want to add the piece about the project he did. That was a group that was putting together a telecommunication system for the country of South Africa.
Yeah.
And they needed a valuation on the company itself. And the person at the business school that was doing it left, and Tan picked it up and finished the project.
Wow.
And just to double-check his numbers, they sent it to a firm in San Francisco. And they said it was some of the best work they'd ever seen.
Wow.
So Tan is good, yeah.
Excellent.
I have one more piece. On the way coming, it just came to me, talking about AACSB. We had actually our mentor visit in May, which actually talked to our CAO and President Mason, and I just got his draft, sending it to AACSB Accreditation Committee. There are a number of phases, but he has highly recommended, actually, a School of Business to move to the next phase, which basically is a critical phase for us to get accreditation. So I'm very pleased. I send you the copies, you know, after you stop. So that's a great news for us.
Yeah. Outstanding. Well, once again, you confirm what we know, that our faculty is among the best, doing wonderful things. So thank you very much. We have a motion. Is there a chair? A motion to approve. All right. It's been moved and seconded. All right. Now, let's do this. This is for the resolution. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves the award of tenure to T. Kun Alex Tan, PhD, School of Business and Public Administration, at the rank of Associate Professor. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? Hearing or seeing none, the resolution passes. Congratulations to Dr. Tan. All right. The next item on the agenda is a report of the chairperson. All right. That's okay. So I have a few things that I wanted to say. First of all, I wanted to thank our newest student trustee, Joella Roberts, for being here. We are looking forward to working with you. I think I speak on behalf of the board when I say we all thoroughly enjoyed working with Trustee Nkamya. We thought she was a light of energy and information about the university experience. And so we look forward to receiving your input as well. I used to say this all the time to the student trustee. We don't hold anything back. You see everything that we see. There's not like the trustees and then the student trustees. You get to see, hear, and vote on everything. So we really value your input, and we look forward to you being a part of this board. So thank you very much. All right. Just a few more things that I wanted to say. The university graduation was off the hook. It was just wonderful. Thank you to the whole team. You know, we see Mr. Gordon back there, and we see Ron, and we associate you guys with the hard work that's associated, but we know it's a whole team of individuals. And Auntie Maxie got up there and tore it up, and the Reverend Jesse Jackson did his thing as well. So we were just so appreciative to be able to be a part of that experience, and thank you so much for putting that together. I think everyone really enjoyed it, and it was a tremendous experience. So thank you for that. I wanted to make sure that everyone knew that Dr. Rudd has been appointed to the UDC Foundation Board. She, along with Trustee Scott, will continue to serve in that role, and this is a critical role, the foundation and the university liaise to try to meet fundraising needs, and so I'm looking very much to the good efforts of both of you on this board. Trustee Scott is replacing Trustee Lemos, who served in that capacity previously. So thank you for your willingness to serve, and we continue to look forward to good things coming from you, from both of you on that. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. The last thing that I just wanted to add was that we had discussed at the last meeting, I had discussed two areas that I wanted to focus on, which was recruitment and retention, and Ron's going to focus on that in his report, or we're going to talk a little bit about that. But the second item is fundraising. And so I'm really looking forward to working with both of you to create some type of metrics and thoughts about fundraising for the university and what the board will be doing specifically in that regard. So we'll be in touch along with Vice President Rodney Trapp about this so that we can continue to plan and dialogue about what we want to do to take our fundraising to the next level, both with respect to the board and then for the university as well. So I just wanted to let everyone know that. All right. I think that concludes it for me. So President Mason?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Sure. I sent out my report yesterday, and you can ask any questions on the assumption you've read it. One thing I will highlight is the work with the DC Public Schools, the C-16 Academy. That is in full swing. We're picking up some pretty good partners, including the Educational Testing Service, Digital Promise. Some foundations have been contacted about helping fund the planning process. And the idea there is that there are vast deposits of talent in poor black and brown communities that we really don't know how to identify and refine as human talent. And so we're going to rethink that process and try to do a pilot with the DC public school system. There are a couple of things I forgot to put in the report because I didn't get a chance to circulate it among the other chiefs. Let me just mention them now because they're important. We talked about the commencement exercise, which was great, but there was one that happened this past Saturday that you really have to experience to understand all that we do here. It was the graduation of the workforce development students. We had about 200 in the audience, but I think about 1,000 actually completed certification programs this year.
Wow.
And to hear, every program has a speaker. One of the speakers was a man who had been 12 years in prison, couldn't do anything with his life because he didn't have a driver's license, he didn't have a Social Security card, and he didn't know what to do, and he ran into somebody that said, why don't you go and talk to the people at UDC? And one thing led to another, and now he is a certified nurse's assistant. And he's married now, and he's well on the way to getting his life in order. But the other one that was interesting was a young lady who was actually doing pretty well in life, but wanted to change paths and improve her career. And so she went back to our program because it was free, the Workforce Certification Program. And she is now a certified certified project manager, but she's also taken that as a first step toward getting her bachelor's degree, which she never finished because she had children and so forth. So to see the mix of clients and students that we serve, from some that have no hope and just need a place to get started, to others that are doing being successful in life or want to get to the next level in life, I thought was really instructive. And so if you haven't seen it, next year we'll be getting out the invitations earlier because it's an event to witness. Yes, Glenn.
President Mason, I just wanted to say the pathway through the project management certification is an excellent venue for anybody because they can make six figures once they get project management full certification. So that is an excellent beginning, and I love that we have that here.
Yeah, it was good. And it really was inspirational, even as much as our commencement exercise. Second, what I left out was that, you know, our education department has been rebuilding since the days of the control board, and we have actually put off the accreditation visit, I think, three times. And then we ran out of excuses, so we had to go through it. And Dr. Anika Burton, along with her team, and I'm going to ask you to stand up if you want to say something, Dr. Burton, with Team Dean Massey, pulled it together and got the self-study done. And lo and behold, we're now a fully accredited department of education. Is a biggie because besides nurses, the other thing the district needs is quality teachers.
Yes.
Congratulations on that. Did you want to say anything, or did I cover it? Or
I think you covered it, but I do just want to acknowledge.
Can you come up here so we can get it on? Thank you.
I thought I could use my teacher. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, Dr. Anika Spratley Burton, Chair of the Division of Education, Health, and Social Work. It was a task, but we did it, but I did not do it alone, so I just want to acknowledge, first of all, our education program director, Professor Ayanna Kelly, stand up. And then we have several members of the education faculty and students who just wanted to come and just say, yay, we did it, we made it over the hurdle. So if all education faculty and students, some graduates of the program and current students, you guys can just stand. And we just want to acknowledge also Dean Massey for all of her support throughout the process. So thank you all. We did it. We are on track. We have teachers for you. We've always had teachers for you, but now we got a big old stamp of approval to do that. So thank you all.
I really want to say out loud that those of us who went to DC Teachers College really need you all to sing that as loud as you can, because that is a constant question from my classmates and friends. But I appreciate what you've done. I'm so very proud, because that's our foundation. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you. And please, Mr. Gordon, 6 o'clock news, 11 o'clock news, any place you can get it out, because the alumni always ask about the School of Education. Thank you, Dean Massey.
Excellent. Thank you. And last but not least, before I take questions, if you have any, I need to announce that IPPH, which is the partnership between the district and the university, has an event on the 24th called Democracy in Peril. And it has a list of A-list speakers, and Senator Mark Warner has been invited and expected to attend, as well as the head of the Legal Defense Fund and the Chief Executive Officer of the League of Women Voters. So please mark your calendars, 7 p.m. at the Student Center Ballroom, June 24th, Democracy in Peril. It's examining the Russian bots and the risks exposed to open, transparent election processes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any questions from what the report we sent out? Good to go?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
I just have a comment, which is that I am so delighted to see a marketing plan. And all
all of this good news, therefore, is going to get wrapped up in that new marketing plan and out there to the public. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, you're welcome.
I have a question for you.
It's a process.
Yes. This self-assessment from EAB, did we do this, or is this in process?
No, this is, so EAB, which is the group that we have been working with on the retention and intervention software,
right.
Approached us about forming a partnership using us as a model for how to increase student retention. And so this is a template that we'll be using as a dashboard to track our work in conjunction with EAB, and this is the template that we'll be using to report to the board at the board meetings on the progress we're making with retention and graduation.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay. Thank you very much. Trustee Lewis.
The chart that you included in your report covers all the steps going forward in identifying students who need intervention and support. And are we going to be working with that more? Because reading through it, it was a struggle. I mean, I got through it to the end, and some of the things I didn't really understand, but I think I knew where you were going with that. It's wonderful. It really is wonderful. It's the first time I've seen that full integration of activities and support in one on one sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
That was absolutely fabulous. When do you think we'll, you said September?
Well, Dr. Latham's here in charge of student development and success, but you know, since we've got here, we've been building up that infrastructure, really from scratch. And part of it is understanding the students that we serve.
Yeah.
Because we serve such a variety of students, full-time, part-time, older students, younger students, first-time in college, returning students. And it really is a different analysis for each and every one of those sets of students. And so we've been building up the data. Where's Maria? Building up our data collection and analysis capacity. We've been putting into place a structure to understand what the data tells us, and now we're working on the interventions that apply specifically to the students that we serve.
Well, that's going to be a model, and it's going to work at all levels.
Well, you remember
high school, college.
Well, that's the C16 Equity Academy, and remember, we're building a model of public urban student success is what it is. Yes, that's what the equity imperative is.
I'm curious. In your report, you said that you visited Cardozo, and I'm just what type of feedback did you get, or what was it?
Yes, so Cardozo had 79 students who had already been accepted to UDC. And the trip was to try to get them, and I think 20 had already had committed, 12 had committed out of the 79, so we were going there to close the deal.
Okay.
We brought a team with us, which was Dr. Latham and some members of the registrar's office, the recruitment office, and we had them all in a room, and we got them to close the deal. And so I think we ended up with another 20 who committed to come. So that's from Cardozo out of 79, that's 30 or so, which is a pretty good return on the pretty good, what's the word, like? Pretty good yield, right, on the, and so it was the first time we had tried that particular model, but I think it worked well enough for us to replicate it now as we go forward.
Sure. So that would be 71st in time, first time in college.
These are freshmen, first time in college, full-time, first time students.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. All right. Any other questions from any trustees, fellow trustees, about the report? All righty. Well, thank you very much, Ron, for your report. I appreciate it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the next item on our agenda is committee reports. The first items would be the executive report and committee of the whole reports. There's no reports to report from those committees. So we'll just go straight to the Academic and Student Affairs, which Dr. Tart is not here. Are there any other members of that committee that would like to say something? No? Mm-hmm. Trustee Wine, I don't know if you're still on the phone, if you have anything.
No, we yes, I am still here on the phone. Okay. I guess that's obvious to like this stuff. We had a committee meeting. We continue to work through getting data. I would say over the last couple of meetings, we've gotten the baseline data elements in order, and the team of William and Tim and Maria have been responsive to what the committee has been asking for. In this last meeting, we had some additional data from the fact book, and there was a discussion about what's presented in the fact book and how we should align that with the data templates that we've created and what we'll be analyzing over time. And so, no specific report other than, as Ron said, as President Mason said, we're getting the data in order so that we can continue to understand the student experience and report back on progress and student success.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, Trustee Weiner, just to confirm, you were speaking on behalf of student outcomes, or were you addressing more of academic and student affairs? You were addressing student
outcomes. I'm sorry, I thought you had moved on.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure. So that was for student outcomes.
Right. I'm not a member of the Academic and Student Affairs Committee at this point.
All right.
Although I will mention one thing that came up, Mr. Chairman, at our meeting, which is that there are things that are addressed at the Academic and Student Affairs Committee that relate to student outcomes, and Trustees Hart and I are going to get together and talk through what those things are that should also come before the Student Outcomes Committee.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much. All right, why don't we go to then the Alumni Task Force.
Okay, the Alumni is basically in recess right now, but we are preparing for a picnic in August. Mr. Scott is preparing to kick off a picnic, which we're going to invite as many alum and as many students and faculty to come back in August to celebrate. We're hoping that the administration will supply materials, handouts, so that we can publicize what we're doing, and again, trying to excite the alumni and students about the university. That's the biggest event over the summer.
Will that be at the university?
It's going to be at the Van Ness campus because of some site issues. We were trying to do it at the community college, but it's a limitation because it's a Saturday event, whereas the Van Ness is open, so we're going to try to do it here. Mr. Scott is working very hard on organizing it. He has a flyer that you'll be receiving shortly, and I believe the alumni office is in full support. So you'll be getting the information shortly as we clarify, but it will be going out. If you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, I can do the operations, and then I'll be quiet for a little while longer.
Okay.
The operations, Dr. Summers' staff and the facilities management team allowed me to go visit Old Congress Heights to see what had been done. It is the opportunity to put our logo in the heart of the community. It's on all the crossroads, all the buses, all the subway, all the high school kids, all of the community passes through that triangle, that island of Old Congress Heights. It's a historical landmark. It is important to the community, and it tells them that we're here to stay. We're not on the fringe. We're not at the extreme ends of it. We're right in the heart of that ward. And it gives us a chance to recruit those kids. Last year, and I'll be brief, this year at the GED graduation ceremony that we held here, the young man stood in the lobby and said, "I'm from Southeast and I can go to UDC," because we were recruiting them right there on the spot. They mastered the GED. So those kinds of things, and being in that neighborhood, and his whole family was there, all of his sisters, his aunts. There were no other men, and they were all there supporting this one young man who was bragging about going to the university. Again, I think it's a beautiful opportunity. I'm glad that we get it. I'd like us to own it, not lease it, and I had to put that on the table. And thank you all. Thank the facilities and Dr. Summers, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. The Communications Task Force, Trustee Roberts, this is one is one that you'll be engaging in as student trustee. We don't expect you to have anything to say, obviously, today. But to the extent when you're on campus and you're hosting events, forums, presentations, what have you, please let us know the results. Also, let us know if you want us to attend. We're happy to be there and communicate with the students and hear what their concerns are, because that's what it's all about, actually. Okay? All right. Thank you very much. Yes. Oh, okay, sure. We're going to. Academic Affairs, Trustee Jarvis, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did not speak up at first because I actually wasn't prepared to talk about it, but there was a lot of work done in Academic Affairs, and I want to acknowledge particularly the community college, which had some very significant outcomes in terms of creating a pathway from the two-year program into the four-year program. There are now, I don't know how many new programs that now have an operation that allows that, but four such programs, the president has indicated. In addition to that, you might remember that there was an issue with the accreditation for mortuary science. The mortuary science accreditation was approved. It was not only approved, but a great commendation to the community college and the leadership there. The other program that is moving well is the nursing program, which is up for reaccreditation. So there is a lot of good work which is being done in the community college to feed the four-year program and to augment the four-year program here on the campus. And that kind of transfer from the community college to the four-year program is one which is the subject of data collection to see how well our students are doing in the four-year program after they matriculate in the two-year program. So Mr. President and Dr. Summers have really looked carefully at how our students can be served academically in those various phases of their careers.
All right. Thank you for adding that. I appreciate it. All right. I think actually, Trustee Jarvis, we can go right back to you for audit, budget, finance as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
CRO, Troy, I always stumble on his last name. Troy Stovall has made sure that I am aware of our budget highlights. So I have just had the second quarter. I had the first quarter highlights, the second quarter highlights. And I can report to you, as I did with the first, that the university is on track to complete the fiscal year within the approved budget, looking at second quarter. That revenues are at 50% of the budget, which is what we expect at second quarter. That expenses have a burn rate of about 45%, which is good for the second quarter. And so we are looking ahead and expect the university to remain within budget. The council approved a one-time adjustment to the FY19 local budget of $75,000, which is for the Institute of Policy and History, and I understand that there is yet one more $75,000 amount coming for that. The capital budget for FY19 came in at $27 million, and of course you know that there are many plans for the capital budget, including the renovation of Building 41, the hope that we will soon entertain the archives here on the campus. And so the planning for that is ongoing. We have not, I've actually not had a briefing on the 2020 budget because, as you know, the budget was just approved. And I'd rather give you a report when the COO tells me that he knows everything that's in that budget for us. And we are grateful for one part of that budget, which moved the acquisition of the building at 4250 onward. It was a surprise, but a good one.
Yes.
So we are grateful that the university will be able to move forward on that capital acquisition. Mr. Chairman, that is the report.
All right, thank you. Any questions for the report? No? Okay. Thank you. All righty. Well, that concludes the committee reports. We don't have any unfinished business that I'm aware of. Does anybody have anything to add?
I think it is the new board member for the other board members.
Okay. Trustee Roberts, I think we do need to introduce you to the other trustees. So why don't we just go around the room so that everyone can introduce themselves. All right. Trustee Lewis, you can start.
I'm Gwendolyn Hubbard Lewis. I represent the alumni. I'm very nice to meet you.
Carrington Scott, alumni trustee, graduate 1982.
Jerome Shelton, class of 1971.
It is really a pleasure. Jim Dyke, my mother's a resident of DCTC, so I second all the comments you made about our great
Welcome again. As I said earlier, this is Trustee Roberts' first meeting. She was elected in May, and so this is her first meeting as a full-time board member. So welcome again.
Thank you.
All right.
Law school?
School of Business. School of Business, yeah. All right. Okay.
Those strong business majors.
Any new business? Okay, hearing and seeing none then, I'll just go ahead and close this out. This is going to be our last meeting for a while. Our next meeting is September 10th. So unless folks need to meet with us for anything or chat with us for anything, we'll be around. So we don't believe there's another meeting. Is that okay, Trustee Stovall? Mr. Stovall, that you're looking like? Okay, gotcha. All right. If you need something, you need us, we'll be here. All right. Okay. Well, so, yes, Trustee Scott.
Just before we end, just to remind the trustees that we are still working without academic achievement award pavers to recognize the top 10 academic students on this campus. Still an opportunity for you to invest into that program. Typically, we have the presentation in November during the homecoming area, and so we'd like for you to consider working with us again this year as you did last year. It was such an outstanding program last year to see the families that forced to bring back 10 graduates from this university, from the outgoing class, to recognize them for their achievements in academia. And so again, we'd like to do that again, and I hope that you will support that.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I just have one question.
Sure. Trustee Lewis.
Trustee Scott, is there a schematic anywhere that shows where everybody's papers are? Yeah. I have two papers out there, and I want to put another. I keep bringing people to see my papers.
Okay, with regards to the foundation, the papers, you have the opportunity to put your paper in any of the schools' locations that you might have chosen at the time.
That's what I did. I thought I knew where they were.
They
walked around.
But Letter Track can give you a listing as to where your papers actually are.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
I have a paper out there for my mother, too, so I have to make sure I have it.
Could that be placed on the website? I mean, others might also be...
The location, most people make it their own choice and destination. Some folks want to be in the UDC, some in Wilsonville, some at Antioch Law School.
Right.
So you have the opportunity to be where you want to be as long as you give the money.
Right. I think he's asking if there's a common directory where you can look to see where somebody's work is.
I think Rodney could probably help you in that area.
I think we need one. It's not that easy to find.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think this concludes our business. I want to thank again the mayor and our deputy education mayor for being here. And if there's no other questions or business, this meeting is adjourned.
More money.
All right. We are adjourned. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Good meeting.